Today we're picking up in Genesis 43. Hopefully you've read ahead and read a little bit about this and have some of your own thoughts. But we're starting here. This is the second journey that they're going to make to Egypt. So all of Joseph's brothers are back with their dad in Canaan. And it starts with verse 1 saying, "Now the famine was still severe in the land, so when they had eaten all the grain they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, 'Go back and buy us a little more food.'" Now, I stopped right there. So, in my mind, when you're reading this, and it's like, okay, well, all right, we ran out of food, go get some more. We kind of think of the grocery store. Okay, I'm out of food. I'm going to run up here to Walmart, Harps, whatever you got near you, and I'm going to pick up some more. And that is not the case here. And I looked a little bit to see. Remember when all these brothers had been there with Joseph, what did Joseph say? He said, okay, you leave one of your brothers here and you go home and you get your youngest brother and you bring him back and I'll know you're not spies and I'll sell you some more grain. So we read that, and then it picks up and says, okay, now we ate all that, and now go back. Y'all, like 2 years have passed. So Jacob and his sons have left Simeon back in Egypt in jail. They've traveled back home, and I looked, I mean, we're talking, it probably took them like 3 weeks or so to make that journey. I think it was like 500 and something miles. So here they leave their brother in jail. They trot home like for 3 weeks or however long it took. Get home. Then, I don't know, eat for a year and a half off of what they bought. And then they're like, oh, well, we're almost out again. Reckon we need to go back to Egypt. So, you know, dad's like, go back. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh my. At time passes so quickly between these chapters and between some of these verses that I think we miss that. We miss how much time has passed, how much grieving has gone on, knowing that you've left your brother and Jacob just doesn't want them to take Benjamin, so he's just being contrary about it, and then finally realizes, okay, we're going to run out of food soon. And they had to plan for that. Now, mind you, again, if I run out of milk, I can run to the grocery store and get some. But they've got to plan in advance, because if it takes them 3 weeks to walk there, and then they might be there a couple weeks getting their affairs in order, and then another 3 weeks back, you got to be a couple of months planned up here before you can get food. And this is a famine. Although Jacob had lots of material things, when you add a grain, you add a grain. Doesn't matter how much silver you got, you can't chew on it. Okay? So they're having to plan. So I wanted to kind of get that in your mind, because I had to get that in my mind. We start reading and we just keep going, and we're missing that how much time has passed as these decisions are being made. So Judah, who is Jacob's son, says, "But the man warned us solemnly, 'You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you'll send our brother along with us, we'll go down and buy food for you. But if you won't send him, we will not go, because the man said to us, you will not see my face again unless your brother is with you.'" And that's when Israel / Jacob, same dude here, ask, "Why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man you had another brother?" So Jacob is still aggravated. Y'all, a couple years has passed. He's still ticked off. Okay, a couple years has passed, and he has still somehow misplaced his faith. Have you ever done that? Like, you got so caught up in your own stuff that you forgot that God Almighty was the one who promised the blessings to your grandfather, your father, you, and here you are all messed up because you're scared to let Benjamin go anywhere. In verse 7, they replied, "The man questioned us closely about ourselves and our family. Is your father still living? Do you have another brother? Blah, blah." So Judah's trying to relay, this is how this went down. And this is what happened. Now, of course, I think if you go back and actually read it, that may not exactly have been how it went. I think Judah and his brothers kind of offered some of that information because they were trying to prove they weren't spies. Okay, so he wasn't exactly telling complete truth here. So then Judah says to his father in verse 8, "Send the boy along with me, and we will go at once so we can eat and we can live, because otherwise we're all going to die. That's basically what Judah's saying. Just give me the kid. Me and Benjamin, we're going to make this trip, because otherwise we're going to die. And he says in verse 10, as it is, if we had not delayed, we could have gone and returned twice. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, a couple years have passed here. They could have made this trip come back two different times or better. And all the time that they're fussing about it, thinking about it, and just eating up the grain and leaving old poor Simeon up in jail somewhere. So in verse 11, then their father Israel said to them, if it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bag and take them down to the man as a gift. When they're saying the man, they're talking about Joseph. They just don't know it's Joseph. A little balm, a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back in your mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once, and may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with us. As for me, I am bereaved. I am bereaved. So finally, Jacob / Israel says, fine, whatever. We're all going to die anyway. So y'all going back, but you take some good gifts. Now, something I read said that they probably had the balm and some of the honey and stuff, but I think some of these items, now I forget which one, I'd have to go back and reread that. Some of those items, though, were not common from Egypt, so they were imported, so they cost a lot of money. And so he was really trying to send very nice gifts to find favor with Joseph, so he'll release his other son. And then he says, may God Almighty grant you mercy. So for just a smidge, he's starting to think, okay, you know, may God Almighty do something about this. And it seems like Jacob just kind of lost his way there for a while. But he does recognize that he's just going to pray that the Lord steps in and grants them mercy. But then he goes on to say, as for me, I am bereaved. I'm bereaved. Okay, I picture it like this. If it were me, I'd be going, okay, y'all go do this, and I sure hope the Lord's with you, but as for me, I'm so stressed out I could spit. Okay, I think that's kind of how he was. He was just kind of like, I am done. I am so stressed out. I think I'm just going to lay down and cry, and because probably none of y'all are coming back. And I mean, like, his faith is gone. He is stressed smooth out. Okay, that's a lesson for all of us. A lot of times we get so stressed out that we lose our way, and all we're focusing on is, well, as for me, I'm bereaved. As for me, I'm stressed out. Okay. So the men took their gifts and double amount of silver and Benjamin, and they hurried down to Egypt and presented them to Joseph. I think that's funny. They hurried down to Egypt as if they're running down to Walmart. I don't know. It took them a while to get to Egypt. Okay. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of the house, take these men to my house, slaughter an animal, and prepare dinner there to eat with me at noon. The man did as Joseph told them and took the men back to Joseph's house. Now the men were frightened when they were taken to his house. They thought, we were brought here because of the silver that was put back in our sacks the first time. He wants to attack us and overpower us and seize us as slaves and take us as donkeys. These brothers feel so guilty for everything they've done that they're just looking for everything bad. Have you ever been in that kind of situation? You don't feel like you deserve this situation. You could never imagine. All you can imagine is the bad that's going to come from it, not the good. So you're like all stuck on that. You're focusing on, whew, these are all the bad things that are going to happen. Instead of, they didn't for a minute think that maybe Joseph was just trying to be kind to them. That never occurred to them. Probably because they were toting all this guilt. So the Joseph steward takes them and fixes the food. And the guys are like, the brothers are like, hey, look, we came down here before to buy food, and we had silver, and we gave it to you, but it was back in our sacks, and we didn't mean to steal. That, you know, they're trying to explain away the situation, and the steward says, it's all right, don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I received your silver. Then he brought Simeon out to them. That was in verse 23. So the steward took the men into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, provided fodder for their donkeys, And they prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon because they had heard that they were there to eat. When Joseph came home, they presented him the gifts they'd brought into the house, and they bowed down before him to the ground. Remember, there it is again, that dream from before. Joseph knew they would bow down to him, and this is the second time that's happening. And Joseph did have two dreams about that. Now it's happened twice. He asked them how they were, and he said, "How's your aged father? Is he still living?" And they're like, "Yes." And they bowed to pay their father honor. And as he looked, he saw his brother Benjamin. And he says, "Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. Because it had been so long, more than likely, I think it said that Benjamin was probably about 16 years younger than Joseph. So he would have been like a little toddler when Joseph got sold into slavery. So he has not seen him since he was a child, a small child, toddler. So he was so moved. In the Hebrew, I had made a note here, in the Hebrew where it says deeply moved in verse 30, the Hebrew for that is "for his mercy grew warm." That's what that meant in the Hebrew. So he had mercy for them at this point. He was filled with love for his brother that he had not seen. So Joseph washes his face and gets himself together, comes out and tells him to serve the food, and they have this big old feast, and he gives Benjamin five times the amount of food as everybody else. And everybody drinks freely and eat, and they have this great big old feast. Now, Joseph still has not told them who he is. That is still to come. But I think things that are important for us to pick out of this is that they did in the beginning have to actually plan for that famine. They had to plan ahead of time to travel. Since there was so much travel involved, there was a lot of planning involved to not starve to death. And that stuck out to me, how much time is involved in that. The other thing is that poor old Jacob was so messed up, so stressed out, so hurt and bereaved over losing one child, he thought, and possibility, or one being in jail, and possibility of losing another one, that he had just lost sight in the Lord. And we can get so deeply hurt in this lifetime that we can lose sight in the Lord. And there was reminders in here that the Lord was with them. So we need to be mindful of that. And, you know, we probably have never been in a struggle like they are, where they had to be so hungry and be so scared and be in such a situation like that. But God was with them, and God had a plan, and God was using this extreme famine to bring a family back together, to reunite them. So everything is a part of God's plan. Even the difficult, most painful things that we walk through, even if we're going through a famine, that God can use that famine to do great good. They couldn't see that in that moment, that soon their family was going to be reunited. But if there had not been a famine, then these brothers would have never gone to Egypt, and they would never get to be reconciled with their brother. All of this came from that dream. God planted that dream in Joseph's head all those years before, and then it all is part of his plan, and it's playing out. So just be looking and praying that God will allow you to see the steps to take next. You may not get to see the whole picture, but just pray that God gives you the steps to take so that he can reveal his plan to you in his time. And remember, his time is different than our time. Go read this for yourself and see what speaks to you. Have a great day in the Lord.